The title of today's message is How God Redeems Our Pain. Now, this is the start of a new series, so this is part one. We'll have part two next week and then part three. And so if this topic resonates with you, I want to encourage you to prioritize the next 2 weeks. If you are breathing air, you know what pain is. I read recently, not recently, it was a long time ago. I can't remember if I read it or if someone taught it to me. That when babies are screaming because you took their pacifier away, it is the equivalent of someone taking your car away. Now, when the baby is screaming, there is a level of emotional pain that that baby is experiencing. So if you've ever breathed air, you know what pain is. My wife and my family and I were on vacation last week, and every time we go on vacation, somebody says, "Hey, Frankie," and I turn around, I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." But we were in Mexico, and sure enough, I heard, "Hey, Frankie," and I'm like, "There's no way." But I was happy to see them, and so I'm not complaining, but their son is he's off to college, and he broke up, or his girlfriend broke up with him, and he was just down, like he can't stop thinking about it. Now, when you're that age, when you're adult, you look back on the people that broke up with you, and you're like, thank God. But when you're in the middle of it, it's a type of pain. And so why the pain, and how does God redeem that pain? Because God does not waste pain. He didn't send the pain, but he doesn't allow it to be wasted. Let me build a foundation on this. In John chapter 12, verse 24, it explains why pain, or what happens when there's pain, and why it's necessary. It says this in John chapter 12, verse 24. It says that, "I'm telling you the truth." This is Jesus talking. "I'm telling you the truth, that unless a kernel of wheat dies in the ground, it dies alone. Unless it's planted in the ground, then it dies alone. But however, when it does die, that kernel of wheat multiplies and it causes a plentiful harvest by changing lives." In other words, unless there are parts of you that dies, particularly in starting with your heart, your old self, unless that dies, then you die alone. But when you die, God is able to multiply the changes that he's made in you. So you can die without having any impact at all. You were born, you died. Nobody cares. You did nothing here. Nobody remembers you. You showed up, you ate, you drank, you worked. You made no impact at all. However, if you die, your old self dies, and your attitudes and mindset dies. Now God says, okay, I can use you. I've got three major points for you that I'm going to unpack. The first one is how our flesh hates pain. How our flesh can't stand dying, how we fight it. The next thing that I'm going to talk about is the four types of pain. And then I'm going to talk about the four things that are happening, God's purpose on what he does. And so let's talk about it. Point number one, and if you're looking at your app, the way it reads, is that God, our flesh, wants nothing to do with pain. We don't want anything to do with it. I want to say this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says that our sinful nature wants to do evil. That you, your flesh, wants to. When you're tempted to do something, you want to do it. You know it's sinful. In your mind, you know it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, it says that God has written his laws on your mind. He's placed it in your heart. You know it's sinful. But your whole body, your flesh, you want to do evil. You want the words out of your mouth to manipulate a person to start behaving the way you want them to behave. You want to have a private life that is different than the life that you're living in this sanctuary right now. You want to have addictions. You want to have certain attitudes. You want it. And those of you that don't want an addiction, you want an attitude. You want it. See, there is an old cross and a new cross. In today's world, in fact, it goes all the way back to when Jesus lived. There's a dichotomy, there's a fight, there's a wrestle. See, the old cross is that you sacrifice your life. The attitudes, you sacrifice it. The pride on the line to go up to somebody and say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. This is sacrificial. It's a sacrificial life. People that can't say I'm sorry, people that can't raise their hands, people that can't pursue the Lord, people that refuse to watch their mouth because people deserve it. Have you ever thought that? I told them off, God, because you can see clearly they're stupid. You can see clearly, and if I don't tell them off, they're going to stay stupid for the rest of their life. I'm helping you. I used to think in high school I had a partnership with the teachers. You're the ones who teach, and I'm the one who brings the humor. I'm in partnership. I said, Dad, don't worry about it. My teachers love me. Don't worry about my grades. They love me. And he goes, this is what your teachers are going to do. Man, I love that kid, F. Sure enough, that's what they did. But by this mindset of I have a partnership, I'm going to tell people, I'm going to let them know who they are, all the things. This is a sacrificial life to shut your mouth. This is a sacrificial life that all of your addictions, all of your compelling, all of this has to be sacrificed before God. This is the old cross. And a sacrificial life says, God, I stumbled here. Will you please forgive me? There's a difference between wickedness and weakness. Yes. Wickedness is when you refuse to ask for forgiveness because you see no issue with it. That's wickedness. Weakness is when you look back and you say, Lord, I'm sorry and I need you to help me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says that we should come boldly before the Lord, receiving mercy and grace. Mercy forgives you. Grace gives you the strength to not be bound by that anymore. And so the under point number one is that we want that there's the old cross, but yet there's a new cross. And the new cross, the old cross requires surrender. But then the new cross is saying, God, I want comfort. I believe in you, but I want comfort at the same time. A sacrificial life is not comfortable. A sacrificial life is painful. A sacrificial life is something that none of us want. Unless we sacrifice our life, then we can just put our hands up and just say, I'm playing around with God. I'm just playing around with him. It's a sacrificial life. Our flesh wants nothing to do with pain. There's four types of pain, point number two. The first type is bodily pain, physical pain. Having acute or major or strong pain in your body, sickness in your body. I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I want you to believe this. If you are healthy, you have a phenomenal life. You have a phenomenal life. If your children are healthy, you have a phenomenal life. If you are ever find out, if all of a sudden sickness comes upon you, all of a sudden that trumps every problem you have. I remember when my wife was sick for 4 months, no doctor could help her. And so I sacrificed a moment. I can't even remember what it was. And I was talking to my dad. It was probably forgiveness. That's always the thing I got to do. But I went up to somebody and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. And I called my dad and I was like, I just did it again. It was the most painful thing is to go ask for forgiveness. And I remember my dad saying, the Lord's going to bless you for that. And I told him, the only thing I want is for my wife to be healthy again. If you have your health, you have an awesome life. If you don't have health, I want you to know that God is in the healing business. And don't ever doubt it. Don't ever doubt it. He does it all the time. All the time. I've seen over 1,000 physical healings. Over 1,000. In other words, I can't even count. Deaf ears, blind eyes, felt bones move under my hands. Prayer partners down here, there's more healings that have taken place from our prayer partners after service than when I've prayed for people. But there's physical pain, and then there's heart pain, where you have a broken heart. I don't have time to go into it, but you got it. There's mental pain where there's distress, there's anxiety, there's depression. And then there's spiritual pain where you're really wrestling with faith versus doubt. It's hard for you to believe that God's going to come through for you. When you're in the middle of pain, I'm telling you, I've been there more times than I can count. I've said this, God, I'm too young to live like this for the rest of my life. When you're in the middle of one of those kinds of pain, physical pain, heart pain, mind pain, spiritual pain, the devil always tells you never lies. And I'm going to say that hopefully I remember to say never lies over and over again in this church. Never lies are lies that Satan tells you that start off with the word never. You're never not going to be in debt. Your marriage is never going to be better. You're never going to be healed. You're never going to be whole. You're never going to get married. Your kids are never going to come around. You're never going to be out of this pain. And when you're in that pain, in any one of those categories, you think you're never going to get out. I've been there. Has anyone ever heard the never lies? Come on, just wave at me. Wave at me. Let support this thought. Are you with it? Put your hands together. It's the never lies. But four things are happening during pain. Four things are happening. And I think starting in number 2, 3, and 4, you can see how God redeems it. But the first thing that's happening during pain is Satan is trying to kill you. I want you to know that Satan is trying to kill you. Whether it's physical pain, whether it's heart pain, whether it's emotional pain or faith and doubt, he's trying to kill you. I have a friend of mine who was a satanic warlock. And he told a story in his book. His name is John Ramirez, if you want to find his book. But he wrote several of them. I can't remember what book that he wrote this in. But there was sacrifices being taken place in his grandmother's basement. Seances. And things would happen to people. Eyes and faces would get distorted and all these things, and they'd spin around and get lost. And he remembers walking down there, and somebody brought their 6 or 7 year old kid. And that 6 or 7 year old kid was sitting there, and his face was getting distorted, and it was just a little kid. And then he learned at that moment that Satan doesn't care. Whether it's just a little boy or a little girl, he doesn't care. Or an adult. And we would think, hey, leave the kids alone. He does not care. He has that much hate that children and babies, he's trying to kill them all. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to kill the children. He's trying to kill them all. And so when you're in this pain, he's trying to break every ounce of faith we're trying to grab onto. If you've been in faith, you're just reaching for hope. You're trying to hang on to hope. He's trying to kill you. This is what's taking place during pain. There's 4 things that are happening during pain. He's trying to kill you. But how does God redeem it? Well, this is what's happening during pain too. Pain is the primary sign that you're in transition. This is an old illustration, but let me just use it again. The caterpillar inside of the cocoon that comes out is a butterfly. There's so much heat. There's so much pain that the entire caterpillar is dying. Dying. When you are in pain, physical pain, your heart is in pain, you're emotional, you are in transition. There's parts of you that are dying. There was every once in a while, it happens all the time. I see a pastor friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time. A worship leader I haven't seen in a long time. There was this one particular worship leader, just about as arrogant as you could be. I mean, arrogant. The dude could sing good and he knew it. He was good looking and he knew it. And I'm like, you don't need to give this guy a compliment. He gives himself a compliment every single day. So arrogant. To the point where I was like, hey, I don't even want, if I never saw this guy again, it'd be too soon, right? Never. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm trying to make my point here. A couple years went by, and I bumped into again. I saw him at a distance, and I was like, oh my gosh, I do not want to see this guy. But he looked at me, and I'm like, okay, can't run now. So here comes the most plastic Christian smile you've ever seen in your life. Hey, how you doing? And I shook his hand, and I looked into his eyes, and it was the most humble guy I've ever talked to. And I thought, what in the world just happened to you? And I had to ask around. I didn't want to ask. I was like, what happened to him? The guy's amazing. He used to be a complete jerk. And they're like, man, that dude almost lost his life. You know, you are in transition. And sometimes that pain lasts a while. What is it? In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Sometimes the good fight is a long fight. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's a long fight. I have a really good friend of mine. His son, crazy, just crazy emotional battles, mental battles, got checked into institutions. He was trying to kill himself. And this happened for years. And then I saw him at a wedding and he came over to me and said, hi. It was a big wedding. It was a couple hundred people. And I got to tell you, he was the nicest guy in the entire wedding. He was the most humble guy, the most encouraging guy. And I thought to myself, how in the world did you get from here to here? Well, being this wonderful guy, this encouraging guy that God was using to impact me, to impact others, it wasn't free. Influence is not free. How I love, we all love to talk about the United States of America, where we say freedom is not free. I want to tell you, spiritual influence is not free. Unless a kernel dies inside of the ground, it dies alone. But if it does die, it changes lives. So what's happening? Number one, Satan is trying to kill you. Number two, you're in transition. Number three, in transition is the Lord beginning to redeem you, because Satan has tried to kill you, and sometimes he's done a really good job. And then you're in transition. And then I want you to know that his spirit is surrounding you. You know, those of you that are hanging on to your new cross, not the old cross, the new cross. I'm going to keep living this way. I just want to tell you, you just haven't paid the price yet. You will pay that price. You'll get away with it for a little while, hanging on to that new cross, comfort over sacrifice. You will pay that price. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but you will pay that price. But if you're saying, I'm grasping the old cross. Every one of us have had seasons where you're hanging on to the new cross, comfort over sacrifice. Every one of us can raise our hand and say, let me tell you about the season of my life. And all of a sudden you started clinging to another cross. I'm willing to sacrifice anything. So God has you in transition. This is how he redeems you from your pain. He redeems you from your pain because you begin to experience the presence of the Lord like you never have. I remember the day where all of a sudden I realized, any second, I can become aware of his presence, just as I am in the sanctuary. That was a massive price. The presence of God. Number four is you're in the middle of expansion. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 2, it says this, begin to enlarge your tent. I can trust you now. I am enlarging your sphere of influence. I'm reaching. You have gone through tremendous pain. You have gotten on your knees and you've lifted your chin. And now I am going to redeem it by giving you more influence than you've ever had before. You've gotten on your knees and you've died, and I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to show you a testimony on the screen. If you haven't watched The Chosen, I want to encourage you to go home. I don't even know. How do you find The Chosen? You go on Netflix or something? What do you do? Oh, an app? I don't know. Just go to ChatGPT and ask how to do it. But anyway, you got to watch it. And there's a guy named, I forgot his real name, but the guy who played Jesus, he was on a show called The View, which I'm not a fan of. But they were interviewing him, and I didn't watch the show to see it because the show just drives me nuts. But I saw a clip, and I was like, I need that clip because this God redeemed his pain. And I want you to take a look at this.
Well, I worked here in New York City after college in production. I was a location scout, and that was how I made a decent living. But I had started working, MTV Celebrity Deathmatch was the first acting job I ever had. So from that point, I always had a curiosity about it. Like, well, I wonder what this would look like if it went further. And fast forward to the housing market collapsing in 2008. I had booked a few other jobs. I started booking television, and I thought, okay, well, this is an opportunity to see if I can actually make this work. So I moved to LA, and for 8 years, I didn't have the safety of the job that I left in New York. It's a different unions and all sorts of complications to do the same thing in LA, but that's not what I was going to LA for. So I had to do all these other jobs, these side jobs. I drove rideshare, I worked in catering, all these things that I'd never done before. And gotten to the point where I was broke, I was out of money, I was out of food, I was out of even government assistance for food. And the only thing I hadn't done at that point was the thing that was left to do, which was to get on my knees and surrender my entire life and my career and everything that I had up to that point over to God. Because there wasn't anything I realized I could do on my own.
Well, you were a believer before that?
Yeah. I was raised with the faith from a child, but it really wasn't until after that moment, it was about almost 6 years ago now, where I just said, Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. And that day, I received this incomprehensible financial miracle that changed my life. And then 3 months later, I booked The Chosen.
Wow.
For me, please. My hope for you in this season, or in this series, again, this is part one, my hope, my prayer for you is for those of you that have come through a painful season that almost killed you. You're on the other side of it now. But you keep looking back at that season and you wonder, am I going to pay the price for that season for the rest of my life? This series is to say, no. No, God does not punish his children that have come broken before him. What he does is he redeems the pain. He didn't lead you into those decisions. It was your flesh, as we talked about in John 12:24. Your flesh longs for this. But the Lord backs up and he says, I'm not going to leave you this way. I'm going to redeem your pain. If you need to, I want you to just go study the life of David. He redeemed his pain. The Bible says that the Lord will restore what the cankerworm has stolen. Sometimes he steals an entire season of your life, and the Lord backs up and says, I'm going to restore that. I'm going to redeem that. And so this series is for those of you that you just, there was that season where I want to encourage you for the next couple weeks. The Lord's going to redeem it. And then also, it's for the people that you are in a painful season right now. And a lot of times we can endure anything if we know that it's not going to last forever, if we know that God's going to redeem us for it, if we know that, we can almost endure anything. Painful seasons has an expiration date on it. The Lord will redeem you. However, we have to do what the character, the guy we just watched, I need to learn his name before the second service. Jonathan? Don't tell me his last name. I'll be good to remember Jonathan. There has to be this moment where you come before the Lord and you just say, here's my life. And every time I come before Him, I always just seem to hold my hands out like this and just say, here's my life. Here's every hope, every dream I've ever had. You can kill it or you can bring it back to life, but here it is. And in most cases, I get on my knees, put my face in the carpet, try to get as humble as I possibly can. Like what Jonathan did. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to do that very thing. If you've experienced pain that you need to be redeemed, or if you're in the middle of pain, I want you to come out of your seat and I want you to hold your whole life like this. Just say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Some of you come from a church background where you never get out of your seat, and I understand that. But if I can compel you to remember what people did in the Bible, is there was always an altar, something made of wood, steel, or stone that things died on. The Bible says if you're ashamed of Him in front of people, He'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father. And so with all the humility that you can reach for, I want you to come out of your seat and I want you to just put your hands out like this. There's going to be no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's sing this song at least one time through before anyone leaves. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.